Welcome to the Lab Up Leaders series, a showcase of global change agents and experts in healthcare and laboratory management. Here's your host, Lab Up Global Founder, Robert Farias.
So we'd like to welcome Marvelous Asika to the Lab Up Global Leaders podcast. Marvelous, it's nice to meet you and thank you for joining me on the weekend.
Yeah, thank you, Robert.
So Marvelous, can you give us a little bit of a background to the organization that you represent as president?
Okay. NIMELSA is, the full name stands for Nigerian Medical Laboratory Science Students Association, you know, with the acronym NIMELSA. So NIMELSA is about 46 years old this 2022. And I am the national president of the association. So it is the student body for all students in Nigeria studying medical laboratory sciences in about 35 universities, right? So NIMELSA has the regional leadership, you know, because we in Nigeria, we have six geopolitical zones. So we have six regional coordinators and we have 35 chapter presidents with their executives. So the association is dedicated, you know, towards the welfare of students studying medical laboratory sciences, you know, their relationship with the Medical Laboratory Science Council of Nigeria and the Association of Medical Laboratory Sciences. So the Medical Laboratory Sciences Council of Nigeria is a regulatory body, while the Association of Medical Laboratory Scientists is the mother body. So NIMELSA is, you know, is dedicated to bridging the gap between the mother body and the student association. So that is where NIMELSA National comes in. So whatever we do at the national level, we make sure it gets through to the chapter levels, you know, in different universities. So that's like the basic of NIMELSA.
Okay. And for yourself, Marvelous, you clearly made a decision to enter medical laboratory science degree program yourself. Let's take a small detour and learn a little bit about yourself, please. So what was your motivation to enter this program?
Okay, I'm just going to tell you a short story. So, you know, growing up in Nigerian secondary schools, we often think that everybody that works in a hospital is a medical doctor, you know, by basis of them wearing lab coats, we automatically assume this person is a medical doctor. So I had the same assumption. So in secondary school, I already aspired I was going to be a medical doctor because I wanted to work in a lab and I wanted to save lives, you know. So I quickly applied for, you know, medicine and the surgery in one of the public universities, one I'm currently studying now, you know, but I didn't get in that year. So I wanted to try again, you know, that was 2016. So, but I had an uncle, he was a biochemist, and, you know, he sat me down one day and he talked to me. So it was just a conversation and he was telling me, why do I want to study medicine and surgery? So I told him that I'm not very happy because I actually lost my dad in 2016. So it was a motivation for me because I felt if the tests, because there were some errors in the test and all that. So he was on a wrong treatment and later he died. So I felt that if the testing was accurate, he would have not died. So I wanted to be a medical doctor so I can, you know, make sure that tests are accurate and so people don't lose their lives. So he told me that there were other departments, you know, aside medicine and surgery, that there was medical laboratory sciences, that they do testings in the hospital. So I actually did not, you know, I did not understand it as a then. So, but he helped me with the applications and all that. So, and he helped me apply, you know, but that I stayed one full year without going back to school because I was actually lost, you know, if I should go with med lab or if I should stay with medicine and surgery. So I finally applied in 2017 and I got in, right, med lab sciences. So I was just studying the course along with other medical medicine and surgery students and other, you know, nursing and other allied health sciences. it was going well because I was just feeling there was something off, you know, I wanted to be a medical doctor. So there was an orientation for my department, you know, what medical laboratory sciences was all about. Because even while I was in first year, I was still I was preparing myself to switch. I borrowed some courses so I can go over to medicine and surgery. And I was doing those courses. So after the orientation, the speaker, I went to meet her in private, you know, and I told her, see, I don't really understand what this course is all about. Can you tell me the prospects? Can you tell me the prospect? You know, she sat me down and she talks to me. I'm like, her name is Scientist Chinenya. She works at the University of Nigeria Teaching Hospital currently. So the conversation with her was a turning point in my life. So
she explained to me what, you know, medical lab sciences was all about. You know, so, and it was at that point I stopped trying to, you know, change into medicine and surgery. So now for the first time, I was actually, you know, content with the department I was in, right? So fast forward to, you know, my third year, because during my second year, I didn't really know much about this profession. I was just trying to get my grades up and, you know, just doing the student stuff. So in my third year, I applied for an organization. It's called MedLab Convo. So it's just like MedLab Conversation. So they were selecting their first cohort, you know, and they were, you know, taking students, probably that had passion for the profession because they had a lot of plans. So I applied for MedLab Convo and I actually got in. I was selected as one of the first cohorts. So it was until I got in that nonprofit organization that I began to, you know, understand what MedLab was really about, you know, outside the classroom lectures and the rest, because the organization were set up by, you know, there's one of my mentors, his name is Gabriel Oki, and the team lead, Emmanuel Ayawa. So they had better view of the profession. They were well exposed, you know, they knew a lot of things. So they were able to connect us with several mentors that actually mentored us and, you know, helped us have a niche for ourselves in the profession. You know, Robert, long story cut short, when I joined MedLab Convo, that was the only time I knew that I was in the right place. Because like I told you, my earlier dream of, you know, accurate testings and, you know, making tests more safe and accurate for people, it was broadened into a wider view, you know, public health, global health. And I saw that, you know, not just me or my family or my community, this is something that is affecting Nigeria as a country. So if I'm passionate about this, I can even take it, you know, to a more national or even a global scale. It was then I started to see my path, you know, in the current healthcare trend. And I was exposed to a lot of issues that we were having. So the organization helped me carve a niche for myself. And I saw that because I was highly skilled in, you know, technology, in computer, you know, how to write codes, algorithms and all that. So I was able to find a place for my skills and for what I wanted to do. So I knew I could employ technological skills, you know, into healthcare. So that is what I am currently doing now. So that's like my little journey through, you know, the profession. I consider myself fortunate to have found my niche, you know, in my third year. There are some of our students that don't know what they are doing. They don't know what to do, even in final year. So our government has been focused on bringing up their knowledge, you know, to these areas that, you know, MedLab science is a broad profession. There are a billion things you can achieve. Whatever your skill is, whatever your passion is, it can always find a place in MedLab sciences. You know, and one thing that's very important for any student is knowing what they want to do, because it helps you build a career. It helps you build, you know, yourself in that area. So not when you graduate, you start to run around trying to do this or that. You know, you can have all these things at an early stage. So that was my motivation for running for the president of our association. And you know, that's like my short story on why I studied MedLab sciences.
That's great, Marvelous. And at this point, I'll actually add a plug for a different podcast. There's a great podcast from MedLab Convo called LabCast, which I'm sure you're familiar with. which I encourage other people to listen to. It actually comes out
on
the same day as our podcast on Fridays, but please go pay attention and listen to it. We'll actually add a link to it in the episode notes of this podcast so others can find it who hasn't already found it. I'm sure quite a few have. I know it's quite popular in many circles, so I hope more people can go listen to it. So, Marvelous, let's talk a little bit about Nimalesa and the activities that you have on a regular basis. Can you give us a bit of a sense? I appreciate that with the various chapters and the various locations, I think one thing you didn't hit on, can you give a sense to the audience of the number of overall members you have in Nimalesa?
Okay, so I initially said we were 35 chapters. So some universities have over 1,000 students in their schools. Some have less than that. So, but on average, we have about 30,000 students. That's the size of the Nimalesa. So about 30,000 medical laboratory science students.
Great. Yeah, I just wanted that shared, Marvelous. We have an audience that's a bit broad in terms of geographical diversity. And I think hearing a number of that size will be quite shocking to some people who don't have that many lab workers in the whole country, let alone in some cases, even they don't have that many health workers in the whole country. So it's interesting to get a sense of the scale of the organization that you represent. So Marvelous, about your association then, let's discuss the types of events that you would have on a recurring basis. So the types of activities you would typically participate in or your types of activities your organization would put on behalf of students.
Okay. So, you know, in Nimalesa, like I told you earlier, our constitutional duty is, you know, while promoting the study of medical lab sciences, we also act as a bridge, you know, between our mother associations and the regulatory body. So we are also to work with the Federal Ministry of Health, you know, to promote healthcare in general. So these are some of the constitutional duties that Nimalesa is expected to carry out. But when my administration, you know, came, when we came on board, this is a constitution that, you know, was written, say, probably 10, 20 years ago. So it's redundant, if I might add. So the world is evolving and we are past those stages of, you know, trying to do this, trying to do that. These days, the world is looking out for students that are well developed, well exposed, and know what they are doing. So whatever they are doing, they are really good at it. That's what makes students stand out. So it's what my administration focused on entirely. So we came on board with we call it the 2R, rebranding and restructuring. So we wanted to rebrand the face of the association so that we can exude a more professional look, you know, the students. Because like I told you earlier, some of our students don't know what to do with the profession. They don't know where they are. They're just waiting to graduate and get a work and probably start working in the lab. Most of them don't know the opportunities that MedLab can give. So we sat down, I and the National Executive Council, we drafted a plan. Okay, this is the vision of the government. What can we do? So we identified these problems, you know, the lack of passion, the lack of don't know how. So we started by, you know, taking MedLab Sciences to meet the students where they do what they like best. You understand? So we discovered that some students were really intelligent and, you know, they wanted to make the best grades. They wanted to pursue the academic field. So we carved a niche for them. We call it, you know, academia. Then we found out other students were into business. So anything they are doing, they want to make money out of it. So we carved those people into entrepreneurship. Then the third group was those highly skilled at, you know, information technology, you know, and other areas. So we classify them into technology. So then, because these are, you know, what we identified the three arms of these students, and this is what they like doing best. So the next plan was how to carry MedLab Sciences to their feet, you know, using these areas. So starting with the students that were involved in academics, we were able to, you know, hold sessions for them. You know, the sessions were basically like outside the lab, outside bench work. What else can you do? So we found out that many of them wanted to pursue the academic field all the way up to PhD and professorship. So, but they didn't know how to do that. So we were able to teach them, you know, by bringing really exposed people from all over the world to come and talk in some of our webinars. So these were people that some of them were already professors, some were doing their PhD. So they were able to tell them these are the steps you take, you know, to achieve this ambition. So one of the remarkable programs we did last year was, we called it, you know, the Rudiments of Research Writing. So it was organized in November to December. It was a 1 month training, and it was handled by my secretary, Emmanuel Ebesunu. So the program, we brought on board the best researchers in Nigeria. Like if you Google, you know, these things, if you go on LinkedIn and find these researchers, you see that they are the best in Nigeria. So we're able to bring them to that program, and we had, you know, over 500 students attend, because when we came on board, you know, because we were trying to do different things, so we didn't have that much participation, because some people said, oh, just come and go 1 year, you're done. So, but after that program, many people saw what it could actually do. Some students that were really good at writing, you know, that had been writing some papers, some articles, they saw that, okay, I could really, really do this. And what's more, we organized training groups. After the training, we organized them into groups to start writing papers. And, you know, we put people that supervised them and the rest. So after that training and 1 month later, we started having a lot of turn up. Like, you know, the students were seeing their mates being coached, being taught on the, you know, these aspects of research writing. And before you knew it, we started publishing papers. So within December to February, we were able to publish, you know, 7 research papers in about 5 international journals, you know, just peer review journals. They were not really original work. They were article review articles. And, but, you know, it's an actual turning point, because our mother bodies found out that students were writing research papers, and they were actually surprised. So that was when they began to take interest in the association. Okay, let's see what these guys were doing. So we then went further to organize a training on, we called it Opportunity Access Series. So because, you know, we found out that no matter what you do, if you don't have a good social media presence, nobody's going to really see you for who you are, right? So nobody's going to recognize you. So we wanted to give them that professional outlook on social media. So we organized this program to train them on how to start tweaking their social media pages so they can appear more professional. So whatever you've done, whatever you are doing, you can put it out there so people can connect with you. You can see like-minded people, and then you can work with them. So in that training, we're able to teach the art of LinkedIn optimization. We also taught them, you know, how to apply for scholarships, how to apply for fellowships, you know, for research funding, for grants, you know, because these were things that were really, really, really important. So you have a work and you want to apply for a research or grant, you have to know how. So we're able to bring in scholarship recipients from different scholarship, Commonwealth, Erasmus Mundus, Chevening. So they came on board and talked to these students about it. So that was actually another turning point in the government, because after by the time we were done with that, that was when we marked our presence, you know, in the association. So people knew that this government, you know, they were here to work and the rest. So when we came on board, actually we had, just to show you the impact, we had 14 chapters. Like I told you, Nigeria has 6 regions. So we had just 14 chapters actively participating in MELSA. But in the space of October to February, we rose from 14 to about 31, right? So because we had more schools calling in and saying, okay, we got disconnected. We want to be a part of the Melsa National. So we brought them on board. They registered, they filled in, so they were together. So we had WhatsApp groups where we communicate from time to time. We hold sessions on Twitter Spaces just to talk and have some conversation. So currently we have 35. So the association keeps growing. So because in Nigeria, we have 42 universities accredited. So 35 has the Melsa. So just so you can understand how students want to get to meet one another. So we went, so that was where we paused for the students interested in academia. So we went ahead in March we partnered with an international company called BSL Concepts. We organized a training. It was a 1 month training. So, you know, there were people that have technological skills, but they don't know where to start. They don't know how to get training because in Nigeria, some of these trainings can go, you know, as high as 50,000 naira. So we should be about $100 or less. So this was the price they had to pay for those training. So, but by partnering with this company, and you know, we have such a large database of students, they were able to subsidize the amount to just about $2. So we had a lot of students pay the $2 to subscribe for the training. And when the training started, you know, started with basics, graphics designing, till they got so professional to web development, web design, Google Analytics, search engine optimization. So the point is, if you are a student and you have skills in technology, you can develop it, you can hone these skills, and you can make money for yourself using these skills. You're getting the point, right? So at the end of the training is actually going on as we speak, but officially it's came to an end by the last week of March. So, but there was an option for those that didn't really understand, you know, to continue the training. So, but I can tell you that we have students that have established their own brands, you know, just after 1 month of training, and it's a really big win for the association, right? So this month, April, because the students had been clamoring to, you know, hear more from these speakers, because the last one we did was like a tip of the iceberg. So so we organized this program. We're organizing a program. It's called the First International Biomedical Conference. So, but before I get into that, last year, we were able to connect with the Ghana, with the Federation of Ghana Medical Laboratory Science Students, FGMELSA. So, and I and the national president, we had a long, he was in Nigeria to attend our last convention where I was elected. So we had a long conversation. So, and we resolved to get more African bodies, African national bodies of MLS, so we can form a coalition. So, you know, we can get to know each other and can see where the conversation proceeds. So, starting from October last year until this year, we were able to recruit about six other African National MLS Student Association. So we have currently Benin Republic, Togo, we have Tanzania, we have Zimbabwe, we have Malawi, we have Zambia. So Sierra Leone, we have Sierra Leone. So these are the student national bodies we have on board now. So we had a meeting and together we agreed to do this biomedical conference. So it's hosted by Nigeria, that's NIMELSA, and our students, the student audience, they're going to be students from all over the world. As I speak to you now, registrations are going, and we have participants from Pakistan, Afghanistan, we have from India, we have so many medical lab students, you know, tuning in for that program. We have over 600 registrations now from all over Africa and even beyond. So we are bringing speakers. Yeah, so we're bringing speakers from Poland, from the US, from the Philippines, from Canada. So we have, so also the International Federation of Biosafety Associations, we reached out to them. So they were very happy with some of our programs. So they sent us a speaker. He's the Nigerian Association of Biosafety Association. So their president is also going to be one of the speakers. So we have about nine speakers, you know, one from our regulatory council and one from our mother bodies. So these are lab scientists that are doing really, really well. And, you know, one thing we looked out for was, you know, these lab scientists that had very humble beginnings, very little beginnings. So there was nothing really extra. So they just had to hustle by themselves to get to where they are. You get the point. So students can know that if they keep with these steps, if they keep doing what these guys did, they are also going to get to this position. So we're bringing them on board to, and we're hosting the program to mark the Medical Laboratory Professionals Week, which is, you know, starting 24th to 30th April. But we're starting our program on 20th, that's by Wednesday. So we are hoping that by the end of this program, because we have, the team is a synergizing global health with laboratory medicine. And so those speakers have been drafted different topics, you know, starting from basic academic work to more complex issues like QMS, LIS, you know. So by the end of the day, the program is designed for both from first years and to even professionals, maybe students that have just graduated, because they are the ones that will have the idea of the more complex things they're going to be talking about. But wherever you are, there's always going to be a session where you understand and fit in. So, you know, the government, we always like to give extra. Actually, that's what we do. Whenever we sit and we want to do a program, we're always asking, okay, what can we do extra, you know, after this? So the extra thing we are doing is the speakers, you know, we spoke to them that, you know, despite your busy schedules, we just want to assign you 10 students that you can mentor directly, you know, because that's one of the most important things in all these conferences. You go to a conference, you hear, and there's nobody to mentor you. It's overwhelming. So they agreed. So at the end of the program, we're going to assign the speakers about 10 students. So it's going to be another program where we are tagging the capacity mentoring. So because it's going to be like a private session, it's not going to be on our calendar, but it will be held, right? So like we're saying, it's just going to be for a very, very few students that have shown interest, you know, by obtaining certificates, by participating in the entire session. So, and there's probably going to be a little application for that, because we just want people that are serious, very serious and passionate about the profession. So after that, we plan to, you know, organize it's an essay writing competition and a quiz. You know, we want to do it in to honor one of our professors, our founding fathers of medical laboratory science in Nigeria. So his name is Professor D.E. Abonlaho. So we're going to write, you know, the essay in his name to honor him. So, and also to get, you know, some of the best writers that NIMELSA has, because we've been able to get some applications, some grants, some funding for writers. So we just want to, after selecting the best writers, we start doing some grants applications, you know, fundings for that. So we also want to organize, you know, the National Congress, because NIMELSA, we really have a lot of work to do. So but I believe that one of the things, you know, that can really get us to move forward is by having conversations. So we really get to sit to talk. So we want to have a National Congress where we're expecting the entire students, the entire university delegates to attend the Congress. So we're probably going to have one or two people from each chapter attending. So we are looking at about 80 people. The point is, you know, like I told you, the Constitution has a lot of work to be done. So we are using that as an opportunity to amend the Constitution, to talk about our problems, you know, how we can move forward, because these are people I've been working with. I can't really travel the entire country. I've been to just about probably 10, 15 schools. So I've actually not seen most of the people I've been talking with since October. So it will be an opportunity to see, to talk, you know, to also plan our convention and other issues. So a key point in that Congress is that we are working to bring, you know, the registrar of the regulatory body in Nigeria, and also the national president of our mother body, which is the Association of Medical Lab Sciences. So we want to have a heart-to-heart conversation. You know, we're going to say, these are the issues we're having in our various chapters, what can be done? You know, because that's like the work of the national body to reach these gaps, right? So after that, we're going to organize, there's something we call MedLab Career Day in Nigeria. So I told you I'm part of this organization, MedLab Convo, right? So last year in 2021, we organized MedLab Career Day. It's an awareness project that was carried out in secondary schools all over the Federation. So we had about 341 schools. So it was a massive project, you know, and we didn't really receive any funding. All the funding came from students and from the non-governmental organization MedLab Convo. So, but it had a lot of impact because we went to secondary school and taught them, this is medical lab profession. This is how it is. This is what you need to get into the university with. You know, this is the work. Those things that we didn't get or say we got late. So we are teaching them, we are showing them this is the way. So this year, we are going to partner with MedLab Convo. So since I am a member of MedLab Convo, some of my executive are, and you know, we are in a position to actually reach more chapter, reach more states, reach more schools. So it's going to be a very strong partnership. We started the talks since February, and we are going to make it massive. And this time we're probably going to get the government involved, like, you know, getting them to know this is a project we are doing, and other social, other media agencies, you know, so we're planning to get those involved. So that's the plan we have for in June. Then in July, we are looking to, you know, reach out to some select communities, very remote communities where there's little to no, you know, standard healthcare, no awareness. So we're going to go and we're going to talk to them about different lifestyle practices, site sanitization, hygiene, and the rest. So we're also going to carry out some tests. We're hoping to get some fundings to secure the test kits and the rest. So it's just going to be a few select communities. We're looking at three communities in each region. So in Nigeria, take for example, the Southeast region, we have about six states. You know, in the North Central region, we have about 5-6 states too. So we're just going to select three communities. So as you can see, we're really hoping to put a lot of effort in those communities, and we're hoping to achieve massive results. So we don't want to exhaust students, but the MedLab Career Day is going to be massive. So after that, we're then going to have our national convention. So the national convention is the annual gathering of all MedLab scientists in Nigeria. And it's also where we get to conduct our elections to, you know, select the new national executives. So, but this time, you know, there's something we said when we got into office, which is that students are meant to know each other before conventions. Like, you don't just go to a convention without at least knowing a few people from other schools. So with the projects and programs we've been organizing since October last year, we've had a lot of conversations. So most of our students know each other. So in those conversations, we are planning to have health policy talks, and we're going to have debates, competitions. The point is that with all the things you've learned, with how far you've been exposed, we want to hear the stories of students. We want to hear what they've been able to achieve, what they've been able to overcome in this 1 year. You know, so it's going to be an opportunity, you know, aside the fun, the other things we do at the convention, it's going to be a self-reflection time for us as a government to, you know, measure the impact we've had so far. And so the association is just 1 year. The tenure is just 1 year. So there's really not so much you can do because there is limited time. So, but these are the few plans and projects that we've done and those that we still are going to do.
Marvelous. That sounds like a very heavy calendar for most people around the world, whether it's 1 year or multiple years. So congratulations on the, I won't just say the volume of activity, but certainly it sounds like the quality of activity and the engagement you've generated from student bodies. It's not always an easy thing to gain a certain level of engagement. And it sounds like the various tools and tactics you've used in place have been quite effective at that. So congratulations on the level of engagement sounds like you've achieved. Marvelous. Let me change direction a little bit. Many of your students will go on to work in the field. Others will look at using their medical lab science background and jump on to other topics or other areas of study or pursue further studies, as you mentioned. Can you talk to us about the job outlook currently in the country for medical lab science? There's a lot of different discussions around, you know, should there ever be some types of limits on the number of students acceptable into degree programs? And other topics of the like based on employment opportunities. Could you speak to the current outlook for students as we speak?
Okay. So I'm going to discuss, you know, a few things here with you. So you see, in Nigeria here, medical practice, medicine, med lab, nursing, radiography, physiotherapy, pharmacy, the rest of them, they are majorly controlled by politics. And that's just the basic truth. So the leaders of Nigerian political system, you know, they are the ones in charge of who gets what. So there has been so many back and front, you know, several conversations, several conflicts on because of those things. So it has actually limited, you know, how much MedLab can do in Nigeria. So, but for now, we have a lot of opportunities for students of medical, for professionals of MedLab sciences. So aside, you know, working in the laboratory, depending on their major, because in Nigeria, we have 5 different majors, virology, clinical chemistry, histopathology, hematology, and, you know, medical microbiology. So aside these majors that can get you work in a federal hospital or in a private hospital, you know, there's the NCDC, National Center for Disease Control. So the pandemic, COVID-19, it actually exposed a lot of, you know, discrepancies in Nigeria. So the federal government, you know, they've actually seen how much important medical lab science is to the country. So the government has started putting a lot of efforts in place to, you know, actually give them better opportunities. Take, for example, in February this year, the government approved 950 billion naira for the establishment of molecular laboratories in different regions of the country. So these are areas where, you know, medical laboratory scientists are going to have opportunities to thrive in. So there is also NAFDAC. NAFDAC is a National Administration for Food and Drug Control in Nigeria. So they are the ones in charge of, you know, making sure that the food we eat have patent numbers that ensure, that signify that, you know, they've been approved for consumption in Nigeria. So medical lab scientists can work in these areas, you know, in the areas of quality controls, you know, in the areas of testings, you know, just to make sure that these consumables are safe, you know, for the public. You know, there's also, they can also be lecturers, you know, teaching the profession, you know, different areas, you know, but like I told you, the truth in is that in Nigeria, there are limits to how much they can achieve working in the hospital session. Because currently we don't have medical lab scientists heading different, like being the heads of their professions in the hospitals. Let me explain. If you are a major of hematology in Nigeria, you're definitely not going to be the chief hematologist in your unit as a medical lab scientist. So these are political movements that has led to this, but medical lab scientists through their mother body actually working on this to make sure that, you know, these things are removed, these policies are removed, because you're a med lab scientist and you've read this precise thing for years. So what stops you from being the chief of that department? So you get, so there are actually other places that medical laboratory scientists can work. You know, we are looking at students exploring the phase of leadership, because the Federal Ministry of Health, you don't just get there by being a medical lab scientist. Of course, you have to, you know, cite what you know. You have to also get engaged in politics, so you can know, you can get the relationship that will get you appointed as a minister or get you appointed into one of those positions, you know, while still being a med lab scientist. Yeah, so we are exploring the area of leadership, so more medical lab scientists can get into leadership, so they can be there when, you know, decisions regarding healthcare in general in Nigeria are being made, right? So the COVID era, I was telling you, it exposed the loopholes we have in the Nigerian medical sector. And so there has been several conversations about, you know, how well they are being treated, the salaries they are being paid, and the rest. So those things are actually getting better. Yes, they are getting better now. So I don't want to go into details on that because I wouldn't want to say some things publicly, but it's a good progress for now. And the Medical Laboratory Science Council of Nigeria, our regulatory body, they've been working, they've been doing a lot, you know, regulating the different labs we have in Nigeria. Because, you know, Nigeria is a developing country, so we have issues with accessing quality healthcare, not because it's absent, but, you know, it's quite expensive to access quality healthcare, and most people are not wealthy or they cannot afford that, so they make do with what they have by, you know, going to, you know, some little labs that are not well equipped or self-medicating. So the Council of Nigeria, the regulatory body, has been doing a lot, you know, to make sure that we have only standardized labs in Nigeria. You know, so because of the COVID, PCR testings, many labs are actually evolving to carry out more tests. So it's easier to see, you know, a DNA laboratory in your state, you know, before, where you have to send samples to other states. So we also have some COVID testing sites. So not just sample collection sites anymore. We have the testing sites, you know, in some laboratories very close to you. So these are more opportunities, they're expanding. So we even have, you know, people from other parts of the world, you know, trying to get into Nigeria because the phase of COVID has exposed many people into research, into clinical trials. And, you know, we have some endemic diseases in Nigeria, like malaria. So these make, you know, really good topics for research writing. So there are areas being explored now by medical laboratory scientists, and it's really going on well. So, but the major problem we've had is, you know, the lack of professionalism and the lack of exposure to opportunities. So now that people are getting more informed, getting more aware, they are actually seeking out job opportunities for themselves. That's for those that want to practice the profession.
Sure.
Right. So, yeah.
And that makes a lot of sense, Marvelous. I think there's a lot of things in there I'll jump on, but I won't. I don't want to keep you extremely long. But I think there's a lot of food for discussion that we'll certainly have and follow on discussions coming months. Yeah. So thank you for sharing all that with us.
All right.
So Marvelous, at this point, we'd like to invite you to acknowledge if there's any sponsors or groups that have supported NMELSA in its progress during this past year.
Okay. NMELSA, officially, we are supported by our mother bodies, which is the Association of MedLab Scientists of Nigeria and Medical Laboratory Science Council of Nigeria. So these are the two mother bodies, the AMSIN, which is the first one I mentioned, is the, you know, the main body, the welfare body, and then the council, the MLSCN, they are the regulatory body, you know, by the federal government. So these are the two major bodies that, you know, support us financially, you know, mentorship and the rest. You get some of our programs, we get to pass it through them before we do it. And, you know, they support us, you know, with funding, transport, accommodation, and other logistics, right? So especially the AMSIN, because since my tenure, you know, 6 months now, we've been receiving tremendous support from the AMSIN. So I'm really, really really grateful to them. They are led by the national president, Professor James Garba Damen. You know, he's been really, really wonderful. So the Medical Laboratory Science Council of Nigeria, since my administration, we have not, you know, really gotten an audience with them. We've been trying to, you know, reach out to them to have a meeting with them. It's traditional, but we have not really had that. So there's basically really no communication and no support for now, but we are hoping to quickly establish the connection, and so you know they can start supporting us. So we also have the YMLSF. They are the Young Medical Laboratory Scientist Forum. So when we came on board, they quickly organized a mentorship session for us, you know. So their support, aside finance, they've actually helped us support financially, but you know they focus more on the follow-up, on how we are faring, how the executives are working, our programs, you know, how the students are, the impact and the rest. So they are basically like an elder brother to us, you know, so, and they also carry us along in their project. So that's like how the YMLSF supports us. So we also have the GMLD. They are called the Guild of Medical Laboratory Directors in Nigeria. So it's like an association of, you know, laboratory owners in Nigeria. So we are also affiliated to them. So, and their support comes from, you know, basically mentoring and, you know, follow up. So we recently established connection with the IFBLS, International Federation of Biomedical Laboratory Science, and the IFBA, International Federation of Biosafety Association, and the ASLM, which is the Association of Laboratory Medicine, African Society of Laboratory Medicine, sorry about that. So we established connection with these international bodies recently, and you know they are very excited about the idea of NIMELSA and what we've been doing so far. So the support we've received from them has been, you know, follow-ups, mentorship sessions, even recently the IFBA, you know, they gave us a speaker for this international conference that we just started. So the IFBLS, they are doing a support, a grant funding for, you know, student associations with major projects, you know, so we are going to, you know, follow up on that. So that's some of the ways this international body support us. So the conversation is just starting, you know, the administration, we just established this connection newly, so we haven't really got much in action. So this is stage sister. We also have the Global Health Focus. So the Global Health Focus is run by, you know, one of laboratory professors in the world. You know, his name is Professor Lucio Don Prisno III. He's Philippines. So he runs this organization, Global Health Focus. So it's a research-based organization. So when we established our Directorate of Research, the Global Health Focus, you know, we had people there to, you know, mentor some of our students in the area of research, you know, capacity building and development. So that's the area, you know, we have GHF coming in. So we also have MedLab Convo. So MedLab Convo, before NIMELSA National, I just have to give it to them. I was a member of MedLab Convo from 2020, you know, till date. And, you know, they are, like I've told you before, they are the organization that shaped me to really carve a niche for myself in medical lab sciences. They were the one that exposed me. So their support has been tremendous. So I'm going to recognize Emmanuel Anyawa. He's currently a scientist now. You know, he was a student by the time we joined MedLab Combo newly, but now he's a scientist. So he has been really, 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 really wonderful. So if there's a body or, you know, someone that's helped my administration as president kickoff, it would be Emmanuel Anyawa, you know. So when we came on board, we didn't really have contacts to many of the NIMELSA chapters all over the Federation. So Emmanuel Anyawa was key. He was really, really, really the, you know, figurehead of reaching out to most of these schools, establishing contact, you know, guidance, mentorship, because some of the programs we wanted to do, you know, they were novel and we needed a lot of guidance. So Emmanuel Anyawa in MedLab Congo, we had done some of these things. So he was key. He was there to guide us through some of these projects. So MedLab Convo has been one of the associations that, you know, has us strongly. Most of the facilitators we moderators we use, most of the people, you know, we gave projects to handle well, they are from MedLab Convo, right? So we have both student power and mentor power from MedLab Convo because we have both student and professionals there. You know, even establishment of contacts with the other international bodies like Tanzania, it was all because of MedLab Convo. So then, so we also have a BIOSMAS. So in the University of Nigeria, Enugu campus, I and the National Secretary, Emmanuel Elebesunu, we founded BIOSMAS in the Department of MedLab Sciences in our campus. So it's basically an organization to train MedLab scientists, you know, in the area of mentorship, awareness, and then research. So these were the things we had learned from MedLab Convo, and we were trying to, you know, teach our junior colleagues and our departments in our campus, you know, this little thing. So we founded the organization. So some of the activities we do, like take, for example, research and, you know, some other capacity building like LinkedIn optimization. So we have members from BIOSMAS doing these things, you know. So shout out to all members of BIOSMAS. We're about 11 of us founding fathers of the organization. And, you know, we have made applications for other students in our campus to join, which we are on currently. So I'll also, you know, recognize Research Hub Nigeria. They are also key to, you know, some of the projects we've been doing. Because, you know, when you introduce projects, you need people to say, to you know, give a sort of validation to, you know, this program you're doing is wonderful. Because students generally listen to their mentors. So when we have people like Research Hub Nigeria, GHF, MedLab Convo, you know, really speaking well about the government. So it just makes students to naturally want to be interested, you know, to get to find out why these people are so interested. So those are the kind of support we've actually gotten from organizations like Research Hub Nigeria. So there is also Lab OPEX. Lab OPEX is a US foundation set up by one of our earliest mentors, Luna Gordon-Small. She's also a speaker at the international conference. She spoke yesterday. So she has been of tremendous support to the association, you know, with guidance, mentorship. And best of all is, you know, when we call on her, she's always there. Like, I mean, her busy schedule and the rest, she's always there for Nimelsa, right? So with our organizations, we are really, really grateful for the support. So we also have, you know, Atlas Group. So Atlas Group is owned by one of our scientists in Nigeria. So there's a medical laboratory diagnosis center. So he has been of support to us, you know, financially, logistically. So yeah, I recognize him too. We're really grateful to Atlas Group. So then currently we have been able to, you know, form a strong relationship with one of our student entrepreneurs. He owns an interior decoration organization called T Horizon. So he has also supported, you know, some students to attend this biomedical conference by registering them and, you know, supporting their session with fundings, right? So I also recognize my own initiative. It's in the startup, it's in the work. It's called the Biomedical Telehealth Initiative. It's a fellowship of, you know, technology and enthusiastic medical professionals, right? So it's still in the works and we are just getting started. So that's it, Robert. These are some of the organizations that have been of tremendous support to Nimelsa. Yeah, thank you.
Great. Well, I think that's congratulations to all those organizations for help supporting the good work that you're doing. Hope that others would join on board as well, both for yourself and other student associations across the planet that are all at all different stages looking for some sort of support and could use it in some settings. And Nimelsa has done a phenomenal job of reaching out to all these entities, whether it's through MedLab Convo or others. You're in a very good position. So so Marvelous, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate this and we hope very much continued success in your journeys, and we're certain that we'll find you down the road and record another session after your professional career takes off and all these other events continue to progress.
Thank you very much.
To make a suggestion of someone that would make a great guest or topic you would like to hear more about, please visit us at labop.org. That's labopp.org.